Maybe you have a question about something you've seen done here this morning, or something we teach, or just something, maybe you need some advice about a personal relationship or a struggle that you're going through. We're here for you. And in a few minutes, we typically, after our message, we stand up and sing a song. And it's just a neat time for people to come forward and let us know of your prayer needs, or maybe you want to become a Christian. You've never made that commitment to Jesus. And today, now is the best time possible to do that. So just let us know how and when we can help you, okay? This is a great church, in spite of the fact that I'm part of it. But I've been involved with this church for over 45 years, one way or another, and I love this church more and more and more. Yesterday, one more time, they proved what a servant's heart this church has. The young people, different care groups, just different awesome servants of the Lord, put this banquet together for those that are 55 and older. And I'm so blessed to be older than 55. And so it was great. I just can't say enough about it, just how thankful I am, how loved I felt. And as you can see here, the theme for this banquet was the 70s. Now, some of you are not old enough to remember the 70s, but some of us lived through that. And so you're going to see some scary results of those styles here they ask us to come in. But here's some of the young people, some of them, not all of them, that helped serve yesterday. Not everybody got in the picture, but you can see they went all out, and it just looked like we did back in the 70s, so it was pretty cool. And then there's others that helped out. I didn't get a picture of everybody, but here's a few that were made a lot of noise yesterday. And then my favorite here. I tell you what, those guys, when I saw Jonathan and those boys, they look legitimate. That's pretty cool. And one of my favorites here, groovy couple, a really groovy couple. Some of you don't even know who that is, but that's Robin and Tammy. They're sitting over here. I know you couldn't figure that out, but it's the sunglasses. Otherwise, they would recognize you. And then Ricky and Kathy. Now, Ricky didn't really have an earring on that big. I just put it on there, photoshopped it on there, but I thought he looked cool. I thought he looked really cool. And there is the young people voted Phil the best dressed of the night. And I knew Phil, actually, in the 70s. That's when I first met Phil, and he didn't look anything like that. Phil, you're looking better all the time. Okay, so I want to extend a hearty, hearty thank you on behalf of us old people for all how you served us and blessed us, not just with wonderful food, but your kindness and the fun that we had playing the match game afterwards. Just a blessed time. Thank you for making this church a family. I appreciate it so much. Okay, today is Super Bowl Sunday. You might not have heard that, but a lot of people have been talking about that. And I remember the first Super Bowl. I was 12 years old. I remember watching that in Lambeau Field in Wisconsin there, and all the snow and the cold and everything. And it was pretty simple. Tickets back in those days were $12 to get into the Super Bowl ticket. Now they're between almost $6,000 and over $25,000 a seat. So things have changed a little bit, but people are all excited about it. Before, the first 2 years of halftime, it was just this band that played and marched up and down the field. Now they have bands and, you know, all these artists and things like that. But you may not appreciate the Super Bowl. Maybe you don't even like football. But a lot of people do. As a matter of fact, over 100 million people will be watching this game today. Can you imagine? Not a million. You know how many? A million people? That's a lot of people, but 100 million people. It's the largest televised event in the United States, not in the world. The World Cup is much larger. Basically, the Super Bowl is concentrated here in the United States, but it's important to a lot of people. People get together and they have parties and eat a lot and just have fun with family and friends. But some people take it so seriously, and unfortunately, other people go to extreme where they bet thousands and thousands of dollars on maybe, well, the coin flip will be heads or tails, or who's going to win, or by how many points. And so there's a lot going on here today. As I mentioned, from 6,000 to over 25,000 costs for tickets. And of course, then you have your plane tickets to get down there, and hotels are outrageous. I even saw where these famous rich people, they don't obviously wouldn't stay in a hotel room. They ran out these mansions in the area there in Arizona from anywhere between $100,000 and $250,000 for a week. It's just crazy. And of course, food and all the expenses that they incur with that. And so there's a lot of emphasis put on this game today. But more importantly, we're going to have singing night tonight beginning at 6. Typically, we're over at 7, which is much more important than anything that you can watch on television today. The Bible says, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and God will bless you for it. And so it's not you can't enjoy the Super Bowl. You know, you can. I'm sure by the time we're over here and you get home, you'll probably get there even before halftime. And then when halftime drags on for a half hour, and they have all these people and things. So you could do like Barry King always used to do when the Dallas Cowboys played. He would record the game, and he'd get home, and then he would watch it from the beginning. So there's a lot of options. But more importantly, we want to encourage you to be back tonight and sing praises to God together with the church here. Some people don't like Super Bowl, but they like the commercials. And sometimes some of the commercials come out before the actual Super Bowl game comes on. And sometimes, unfortunately, there's usually always at least one or two inappropriate commercials. I don't know why they have to do that. They know their children involved, and even adults don't need to see a lot of things. But a lot of them are really neat. I don't know if you remember this Coca-Cola commercial, but it was one of my favorites, and I thought you would enjoy that more than hear me preach this morning. So anyway, so he's just about finished, and he's just about there, and got it. Open happiness, there you go. But another favorite commercial of mine, they couldn't get the video to work on this one, but it was Tim Tebow's mother. This was about 12 years ago, and I don't know if you remember this commercial, but she was on this commercial, and during she's talking about her experience when she was pregnant with Tim Tebow. They were missionaries in the Philippines, and she was having some reproductive issues, and the doctor there encouraged her to abort the baby. Well, she refused to do that, and blessed in many ways. So that son was Tim Tebow. And so at the end of the commercial, they hug. And it was a commercial about people giving value to life. Even before babies are born, they're human beings. They're people. And they have a soul. And so but a lot of people got upset with that commercial. Oh, you know, they thought, you know, pro-life commercials shouldn't be up there. They shouldn't be doing that. Well, I think it was a blessing. I know these commercials cost thousands and thousands, millions of dollars, actually. I remember when this commercial probably was about $4 million. Now, for a 30-second commercial during the Super Bowl, you'll pay up to $7 million. And so, because they know all those hundreds of millions of people are watching, okay? Now, this year, there's another commercial that's, I don't know if you've heard about this commercial. It's called He Get Us. He Gets Us. And I haven't seen the commercials. They haven't shown it yet, but I've read some things about it. And basically, it's a religious commercial trying to tell the world that Jesus understands us. And we're all different. We need to love one another, be patient, don't be angry with one another. But Jesus understands our situation. Now, as in any religious thing, that might come off and be horrible. I don't know. You know, it may be something false doctrine. I don't know. But what I've heard is basically they've spent $20 million for two commercials, one 30-second, one 60-second commercial. And so I pray that it's a true biblical message, and it blesses many people and touches the hearts of hundreds of millions of people, okay? Another thing that's happening in this Super Bowl that hasn't happened ever before, two brothers are going to be facing off on opposing teams. Jason Kelce is 2 years older. He's 35, and his brother Travis Kelce is 33. And they're stars for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. Travis Kelce is probably pretty famous in our nation because he's a tight end and receives a lot of Patrick Mahomes' passes and touchdowns, where Jason's a center for the team, and so the reporters never talk about the center, but he's very important. So their mother has got a jersey where she's got half the Kansas City Chiefs sewn in there and half the Philadelphia Eagles, so we might be praying for Donna Kelce today. Okay, I want to share with you this morning a few life hacks from our Super Bowl experience. You know, there's a lot of things, a lot of analogies that we see in football that we could apply to our lives spiritually. And the first one is that football is a participation sport, okay? Yes, there's fans there, and even in some way, the fans are participating because they get the players all pumped up, and the crowd, you know, makes them excited and more, you know, enthusiastic and motivated to work hard and win. But in Christianity, it's also, without participation, we're not Christians. Jesus died, he saved us so that we can serve. We're not saved because of works. We're not saved because we serve, but we're saved and therefore we serve. And so I think it's really important to focus on how important that our participation is. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." So Paul's writing and telling us that God gives everybody gifts so that we can all help out in the kingdom. We can all do our share. We can all do our part. So you may think, well, what can I do? What can I do to help? Well, the young people yesterday, they were serving. They came dressed up and they were enthusiastic and they came to the tables and they were so polite and always came back to see what we needed. What you might think, well, that's nothing, but it was special. It was part of God making this church to bond more and to love each other more and to enjoy the experience that God has given us. Another lesson that we can learn from our Super Bowl experience is that football is a contact sport. If you ever played football, you know, I played 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And by the 10th grade, I thought, you know, I'm just not big enough, 155 pounds, to do this. But I had moved to another school system, and I was lined up. I was playing right guard, and that's not a deodorant, that was the position. But I was playing right guard, and I looked across there at the opposing team from Ridgewood High School there, and I thought, oh, there's my old buddy Todd Allen. You know, it was so cool because I grew up, went to grade school with him, you know. Went out the block. I don't know if I thought we were going to hug, but he gave me a forearm underneath my face mask, and it made me see stars. Well, football's a contact sport. But there's a lot of pain even when you try to serve Jesus. You know, you'll have some of your friends reject you. You want to share, you're excited about good news, and they reject you. They don't want anything to do with it. As a matter of fact, they start turning their backs on you. And I've had that happen to me. Friends, people I went to college with, when I became Christians, then they didn't want anything to do with me. And that's hard, and that hurts. And then unfortunately, sometimes even in the church, we hurt one another. It's kind of friendly fire. And it'll happen. There's a lot of pain and suffering when you try to serve Jesus. But here's what Paul writes. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." So yes, we'll go through difficulties. As a matter of fact, Jesus even says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." So Jesus said we're going to have problems. We're going to have difficulties. But he said, you know, be strong, be courageous. I overcame the world, and you will as well. Another lesson that we see in football is that sometimes losses leave us depressed. You're all excited about your team winning. You're all pumped up. You got your banner and, your jersey on. You go there and you get there and you pay a lot of money for a ticket and you get there and then your team gets blown out. It's like you can tell by the before the first quarter's over that this is not going to end well. Well, life is like that. It's not always happy things. We might lose a loved one and just leave us devastated, more than depressed. But the Bible says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep or those who have passed away, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. So yes, a death in the family is tragic. Nancy Mullis just told us yesterday that her aunt just passed away. And they knew it was coming and everything, but it still hurts. It's still tough. But as Christians, we have hope. We know that this life is not everything. We know we have heaven awaiting for us. In Romans 8, the Bible says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" And then also in chapter 8, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So in Christ Jesus, we have hope. And then an important thing we should always remember, if you're a player, if you're a fan, that football is not life. It can be a nice thing. I actually enjoyed when I played. I love to watch football. It's my favorite sport to watch on television. Although, I'll give you a little hint. If you get on YouTube after the game is over, you can watch just the highlights of that game. And in about 13 minutes, you can see it all, see all the best plays, and you don't have to spend 3.5 hours watching a football game with 2 hours of commercials. The main task of an NFL chaplain is helping athletes realize that their life is more than their sport. Sport is what they do. It's not who they are. And I know when I was growing up, I came from a little town, and I was just a kid, and the teachers and the townspeople all told us that sports was the most important thing there was. And so on Fridays, we would get out of school early, go into the gymnasium. The school would let out classes and go in there for a pep rally. And then that night, the whole town would come to the stadium and watch the game or to the basketball arena court, watch the games. And then there would be a write-up in the paper with pictures, our local paper. Back in those days, you had papers, and they came out every day. And so as a child, as a young teen, I believed what the world told me, that sports was the most important thing you could be involved in. And it's just not true. It's a nice thing to do. It's really nice entertainment, but it's not life. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." That's what's real. Jesus is what it's all about. He also says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind." John 1:4. And then in football, only one team wins, where sometimes actually nobody wins. Sometimes they end in a tie. But when there is a winner, there's only one team that wins. But you know, the Bible teaches us that when we're on Jesus' team, we all win. Here's a passage we all know so well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And so we all can win if we're on Jesus' team. The victorious focus on what's really important. You know, I did see a pretty important game one time, a football game, and they got down to the last few seconds, and they had to kick a field goal, and if they kicked the field goal and made it, they would win. Well, they almost didn't get it off because the field goal kicker was over on the sidelines talking to somebody. He was distracted. He wasn't paying attention, and he didn't know that they needed him in right away, and he almost didn't get in time. He didn't even have time to set up very well. He had to run in and kick the field goal, and he did get by. But as Christians, we can't be distracted by things. Football's great. Entertainment's great. Sports is great. Movies, whatever. But don't get distracted. Keep focused on the things that are most important. John chapter 4, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And then last of all, I just want to share with you that you can be on God's team. You might have been here, we're talking about sports and everything, but in some sense, you can be on God's side. You can be on his family. You can be in his team. The Bible says, first of all, in order to be on God's team, you have to believe that Jesus is God and that he died and on the third day rose again. That's just faith, that we believe that Jesus is who he said he was. And we put our trust in him. And those who do that then will certainly demonstrate that faith in an act of repentance. Repentance just means you surrender your life to Jesus and stop trying to be the one who's in charge. That's repentance. You turn your life around. Okay, from here on out, Jesus, you're in control. And then, of course, you must be buried in water for the forgiveness of your sins to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And once again, it's not the water that washes us of our sins, but it's that faith response when we obey Jesus and we're united with him in baptism. At that moment, our sins are washed away by his blood, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then last of all, in order to be on God's team, you must wear the team jersey faithfully all the days of your life. If you've ever been a Christian very long, you've seen a lot of people go through the waters of baptism, but for some reason or another, after a period of time, they just kind of become aloof and distant and kind of cold and just fall away. And that's not going to get it. In Revelation 2:10, Jesus says, "To be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." To the point of death, to all of your life, you must wear that team jersey. Well, I'm sure if you watched much of the news, last month on January 2nd, the New York Buffalo Bills were playing in Cincinnati, the Cincinnati Bengals, and they just got about halfway through the first quarter when DeMar Hamlin, his heart stopped, and I haven't really heard why or anything, but they worked for about 9 minutes trying to resuscitate DeMar, and I was so impressed because the teams were all huddled together, coaches and everything, in prayer. Now, if you know anything about sports, after Tim Tebow, they kind of frowned upon that and didn't really allow much of that. And so people were touched. Here's kind of a report from the Associated Press, and they said, "When medical personnel rushed onto the field to save DeMar Hamlin's life after the Buffalo Bills defensive back collapsed during a game last month in Cincinnati, many people witnessing the horrifying scene did the only thing they could to help. They prayed. Players and coaches from both teams took a knee, held hands, and through tear-filled eyes, called on God to heal their fallen brother. Fans inside the stadium and millions of viewers watching at home did the same, sharing and posting their prayers on social media. In a moment of fear and desperation, prayer took the center stage in the NFL. You know, we don't understand everything about life, pain and suffering. We don't like it. We criticize it. But sometimes it can be a blessing to us. And if that moment, that tragedy that happened with DeMar, if that caused people to think about God, to look to God, to put their trust in God, I've seen a lot of people since then talk about how their view and understanding of prayer has increased. Their awareness of their necessity on God has increased. So sometimes pain and suffering can help us, but prayer is so important. It causes you to come to grips with the fact that there is someone greater than you and that you have to trust in him. Do you want us to pray for you right now? Maybe there's something going on in your life, or there's something you want to thank God for. It's just a blessing that you also want to come and just thank God for. We're here for you now to do that. Or maybe you're not a Christian. You want to join God's team. You want to become a Christian right now. We ask that you please come as together we stand and sing.